Would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. And while you find that scripture, I want to share with you that we're going to be heading very quickly after that passage to Matthew. So we'll be zipping back there pretty quick. But did you know that every day seems to be a battle? Amen? It seems to me that there seems to be as many tough or rough days or more than there are good ones. But folks, in this battle that we face every single day, do we remember that it's a spiritual battle? Life, dear friends, is a spiritual battle. And our problem is that we don't live it like one. We live it like it's a physical battle. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? And we're going to read a little passage here that I know you're familiar with, and it's going to be a setup. And I'm going to tell you right now, today's message is very simple. As you can imagine, the week that we went through this week and being with mom and caring with mom, I just needed something simple and to the heart. And so I'm preaching this for me. And if you want to hear it, praise God. So I'm going to go through it again for your pastor's sake. And if it blesses your heart and touches your heart, that's because the Holy Spirit is at work. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13 says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Be strong in who? The Lord and in His power. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Did you see that? And then the very next word is what? Therefore, and you know that's one of my favorite words, because we always look back to see why that therefore is therefore. And so let's just review it one more time. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, I'm not going to take time to go back and do a spiritual warfare study today, although it does warrant that. But we're going to look at something else today, something a little closer to home for our needs, for your pastor's needs today. And so it says, because of this, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. This word, friends, is a reminder that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And I know that when we say, "Who's your enemy?" a face will often come to mind. But dear friends, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, even though it seems so. But the scripture reminds us that we are in a spiritual battle every day. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, for Gary Ladd, would you impress upon his heart, my heart, the need to be reminded that every step of my life is spiritual battles, that it's not to be fought in the flesh. And Lord, I know, because I have so many friends, so many who love you and share with me their prayer needs, I know they struggle with this too. So this morning, Lord, for all of us who struggle, would you help us to be reminded that we are to load our life not with physical ammunition, but with spiritual ammunition. And help us today through your word to be encouraged to be the fighters from the Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you be seated? Now let me relate this problem to you as though it were a physical one. Okay, this one's close to home. Let's just say that this problem we're talking about, the spiritual versus the physical battles that go on. Let's just say that for years and years and years, you're very, very healthy and all has been going well. But one day, just one day in your life, you begin to notice that your body feels a little weak. And you are a little more tired than usual. Your body just seems to be a little more sore. And so what do? You start taking vitamins and you eat a little healthier. Maybe you get a little more exercise. You even lose a little weight. And you work through the pain and the fatigue and you're thinking, well, because I'm doing these things, it's going to get better. Now, almost every one of you have been through some of that, unless you're still so young you don't know what body falling apart means. But even young ones go through these things. Sometimes even as young people, there are things that happen. And so you do all these things to feel better and to do better. But the problem all along was that your body was fighting an invasion that you did not know about. And you needed not to have done all these little things around you, but you needed to see a physician. You needed to have a doctor treat the cancer that had invaded your body. All these other things that you did to feel better and to do better were not wrong, but they were not the right thing for what you were fighting. Do you understand? You did all the things that you thought you should do, but what you needed was to see a physician to fight the cancer that was in your body. All these things you did were not bad for you. They were even good. But although they were not bad things, neither were they what you needed. You had not addressed the real problem. Now, this is a similar scenario to many problems that you and I face every single day in our life. We try to solve spiritual problems with worldly answers. And we fail spiritually because we're fighting with the wrong ammunition. We see and we experience hurt and pain and trouble and difficulty, and we try to apply our human abilities to deal with it. We're all guilty. Amen? We apply flesh and blood answers to spiritual battles, and we tell ourselves, I just need to work harder. Just reach down and pull myself up by my bootstraps, right? I'm not a quitter. I'm going to keep on going. I'm just going to double down and fight this extra hard now. When all the time, our problem didn't have a physical answer. The whole time, we chased a worldly cure, and the spiritual problem got worse. Every single one of us struggle with this. We try to apply worldly remedies to spiritual needs. We seek people with PhDs when we need to seek the great physician. Amen? We seek worldly advice when we need to go to the wonderful counselor. We trust in people when we need to lean on the Prince of Peace. Did you realize that those men, those 12 that Jesus chose to originally go with him in his ministry, they struggled with the same thing that we do, with the answer literally walking in their midst. They struggled with the same thing. Let's look at an episode of this. And I'd like for you to kind of draw some encouragement from their failure and the answer. So listen as I read to you and as I share with you from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. You're going to recognize this story. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It's I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said to him, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. And he said to him, Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And when those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, it says, and for then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful account. This is one of the episodes of the lives of these disciples and of Christ Jesus. And I'm just going to remind you that from this passage, stuff happens, right? Sometimes we just feel beat up and battered by the storm. Verse 23 and 24 tell us, it says, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Jesus did. And when the evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was down in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now the Lord Jesus was up in the mountains. That's the place of prayer. He went up away from the crowds of people. But while Jesus was up there on having a spiritual consultation, I need three or four of you to play right now that, again, that Elmer Fudd would leave the building. Amen? It happens every now and then to me. But while Jesus was contemplating spiritual things with the Father, his disciples are down on the sea in a terrible storm. Literally, Christ is in a place of seeking peace with the Father, and they are in a place of peril in a storm. Boy, what a picture this is of our day today. Jesus has gone to be seated by the right hand of the Father. Amen. Isn't that what the Scripture tells us? Yes. While we are down here fighting the daily life, a storm-tossed life. Verse 24 said this, it says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Boy, isn't that a pleasant way to put your life? You ever had anybody be contrary? We use other words, but here it is. How many times would you say your life is contrary? Your life is difficult. The fact is, life is not always pleasant and easy, not even in the service of the Lord. Look what happened to the disciples. Those who followed Jesus were beaten, they were questioned, they were harassed. Look what happened to Jesus. He was questioned, he was beaten, he was harassed, and finally, dear friends, he was crucified. For what? For doing right before God. Life is not always easy. And how about we just change that to the real truth? Life is seldom easy. Amen? Sometimes we get battered by the storms. And at times, dear friends, the storms seem to be getting the best of us. Sometimes we feel battered. The next thing is, sometimes we feel like darkness is winning or has already won. Look at with me back at verse 25 and 26. It says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. Now, it says the fourth watch of the night. If you don't know what that means, that is the last watch of the night. From about 3 a.m. in the morning until the sun rises. It was late, folks. It was the fourth watch, which means it was terribly dark. Now, if you're the one on watch, that is the most tired time of your watch. Because you've been up probably all night. You've been waiting for the daylight to come, and it is the darkest, and it is the most tired time of your body and for what's going on. Why is it, dear friends, that darkness and fatigue seem to make problems worse? Amen? Ladies, is it not true that you can put up with a lot from your husbands? Amen? Go ahead and say it. I didn't say you do. I said you could. But isn't it true that when you get just a little bit fatigued, a little stressed, a little tired, things are kind of hitting from every which direction, it's a lot easier to kind of unload on him. Guys, is it not true for you as well? That we know better, but when we get tired and when we get frustrated and when the fatigue overcomes us, it's a lot easier for us to make mistakes. Well, these guys were in a place where it was not only dark physically, not only were they physically worn out, but it was dark spiritually as well, because they had taken their mind off Christ and they were scared to death. They were afraid of what was around them. Their problem was more than a storm. They were separated from Christ Jesus. Jesus was up in the mountain praying. They were on this storm facing it alone, they thought. They could have trusted God. They could have said, oh, our Lord Jesus is going to take care of us. Hadn't he taken care of us any every other time? But instead, they were in a panic. They had lost their focus and they were not thinking about the provision of God. The darkness had overcome them. Their tiredness had overcome them. It's so easy to do when we get there. It is so easy to do. When does the devil strike? When you're at your strongest? When does the devil strike? When you're all prepared? Just when you've left the revival building and you're prayed up and you're going, bring him on, bring him on. No, he's hiding then. When does the devil attack? He usually hits you when you're down, right? He usually hits you when you're afraid, when you're literally worn to a frazzle, when you're lost, when you're angry. But dear friends, there's another time that the devil will strike as well, and we don't think about it so much. And the enemy will attack right after you've had a great victory. Did you know that Matthew chapter 14 and this little account of them going across the sea and being caught in a storm happened after one of their greatest victories? Do you remember what happened right before this, anybody? The feeding of the 5,000. They saw the Lord Jesus multiply fish and bread to the point from feeding one little boy to feeding 5,000 men and their families. And then they gathered up all the extra. Now, they were on a high from hearing Jesus' preaching and feeding 5,000 families. And then they come out here the next evening, that very evening, and they have this spiritual test. Maybe we just need to remember that not only when we are tired and worn out from bad things, but maybe even when we're tired and worn out from good things, that Satan likes to attack. So we remember, dear people, don't take our eyes off Jesus, amen? We're going to come to that. I just gave my punchline away, but listen, yeah, you can't tell it too many times. Don't take your eyes off Jesus, amen? Sometimes, dear friends, in our life, we feel like the darkness has won. Sometimes we feel like our very best efforts are for nothing, that they are in vain. In verse 28 and 29, it says, Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked to the water in Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. He began to sink. Peter had a lot of failures. Do you remember Peter? Big feet, big mouth. They went together a lot. Does that sound like us? Always putting his foot in his mouth, always rushing in where angels fear to tread, as some theologians have said. Well, he has been criticized a lot for all of his failures, but I've got a theory. I've got a theory on this. Maybe he failed so often because he tried more things than the others. You ever thought about that? I think it's true. He was a little impulsive, but you know, he just kind of, again, rushed in where angels fear to tread. A lot of people have said that Peter should have never tried to walk on the water. That was for God. That was for Jesus. But I kind of think Peter had some spunk, you know. Kind of wish I'd have thought of it. Yes, He took his eyes off Jesus when he got out on that water. But in spite of all we say about Peter sinking into doubt, we cannot deny that at least he made an attempt. Amen? I didn't hear read about any of the other disciples saying, "Oh, me too, Lord, let me come out there on that boisterous sea." You didn't hear about anybody else making that request. Now, verse 30 tells us about Peter's failure. It said there, "But when he saw the storm around him, he was afraid and began to sink." We know the problem with that was what? He took his eyes off Jesus. Sometimes, dear friends, our best effort is not enough. Sometimes all of our trying to accomplish things means nothing. Sometimes even our enthusiasm will not carry us through. And sometimes, dear friends, it looks like the end is near, because that's what it looked like for Peter. Surely Peter thought the end was near. In verse 30 it says, he was afraid and he began to sink. Sometimes, dear friends, we just cannot see the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's because what? We take our eyes off Jesus. Instead of looking up, we're looking all around and we're looking down. Now, I want you to notice this. One more time, we are going to criticize Peter for taking his eyes off the Lord, for being rambunctious, for being presumptuous, and going, getting out of a perfectly good boat and going out to try to walk on the water to meet Jesus. Notice what happened to Peter. He started sinking. He sunk like he had many other times in his failures. But here's what I want you to notice beyond that. Peter is no fool to stay there. He was afraid, but he knew what to do. Verse 30 records his failure, but verse 30 also records his victory. Can we read it again? It said there in verse 30, it says, "But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.'" He knew who to turn to. Amen. How many times have you gotten to the place of sinking? It looks like you're at the end of your rope. You can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And instead of turning to Christ, you say, "I'm going to double down on my strength. I'm going to do everything I can to get through this. I'm going to depend on my enthusiasm. I'm going to call on my friends to help me." Instead, folks, we need to call on Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what Peter did. He called out to Jesus. Peter prayed the shortest prayer ever recorded in the Bible. "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." It's a good thing Peter didn't pray like us sometimes. Amen? "Oh, Heavenly Father, omniscient and gracious Lord, I'm coming to you here upon these storm-tossed seas to help thy servant, Brother Gary, who has fallen into the deep. And now, Lord, as I say," listen, God would have had to call on another of Noah's whales to save the day. Amen? But instead, he had the wisdom to cut right to the chase. And he said, "Lord, help me. Lord, save me." It was brief, it was direct, and it was all it took. Amen? Sometimes we feel beaten by the storms. Sometimes we feel like the darkness has won. Sometimes we feel like our best efforts just go unrewarded. And sometimes we think the end is near. But for those who realize that this is a spiritual battle and you cannot reach down and pull yourself up out of the storm and out of the sea by your bootstraps, you must call on Jesus. You must call on the name of the Lord. You must call on God Himself to help you with your troubles. Because we do not fight against flesh and blood. We fight against spiritual principalities, against the darkness. Folks, we need to remember that amidst all of our difficulties, there is the rescuing hand of Jesus. No matter what happens in life, God is there. Look at verse 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him." Thank you, Lord. What a testimony. Can you just imagine? If God wanted to teach him a lesson, if Jesus out there and Peter's going down and Jesus went, you going to watch me now? No, you're gonna follow me? Whoop! You're going to be rambunctious? You know, did he tease Peter? Did he try to teach him a lesson there? No, not until he had him in hand. And then he said, oh, ye of little faith. But he got him back in the boat. His first thing was, it says he reached out and that Jesus took his hand. Dear friends, let me tell you something. Have you ever messed up? Don't say anything out loud. I already know the answer. Don't we all? You ever failed? You ever thought it was the end? Have you ever messed up? Have you ever just wanted to quit? Have you ever thought it doesn't matter what I do? I just keep falling on my face and nothing good is ever going to happen? Listen, do you realize that perhaps you are fighting the wrong battle? That instead of the physical answers you've been throwing at everything, you need to make it a spiritual attempt to pray? And maybe the first thing you need to do is have a really short, direct, calling out prayer. Lord, help me. Jesus, save me. God, I need your help. Don't give me this flowery King James language sermon. Just get in there and say what you need to. Help me, Jesus. I wonder how Maddie would have done that. I'm sorry, Maddie. I keep pulling you into attention, but I just can't help thinking that, you know. Sometimes it's beyond words. Lord, help me. Have you called on the name of the Lord? For those who realize that it's a spiritual battle, there is the rescuing hand of Jesus. No matter what happens in life, God is there for you, just as he was for Peter when he called out. There was no hesitation, no chiding. Peter called out in earnest prayer, in honest prayer, and Jesus extended his hand immediately. The question is not will God answer and will God make a difference, but will you call on him and will you trust him? Did you know that Matthew chapter 28, verse 20 says that Jesus said, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 6 says that God said, I will never leave you, neither will I ever forsake you, so that we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What you're in, dear friend, is a spiritual battle. The words from that old movie just keep coming back to me. What we have here is a failure to communicate. Amen. If you know the movie, we'll talk about it later. One of my favorite lines. What we have here, people, in our life is a failure to communicate, that we are literally trying physically when we need to change realms and fight spiritually. Seek him with your every step. And when you find you're sinking, don't look at the storm. Don't turn to your own reason. Don't turn to your own intelligence. Don't turn to the world. Don't turn to the world's people. Turn to Christ Jesus. Remember, friends, you are in a daily spiritual battle. We do not fight against flesh and blood. It so seems that way. But when you falter and when you struggle, reach out to the rescuing hand of Jesus. Call on your Savior and leave the results to him. He may have some words for you. I'm sure he will. But I tell you what, it'll be in the safety of his boat. I wonder, maybe a lot of us are saying, you know, I've never had that problem Peter had. I just don't seem to have those moments where I'm sinking like that. Well, let me just take this note. Perhaps you just feel too safe in the boat instead of stepping out for Jesus. Amen. Maybe you need to step out of the boat. Can we make that a part of our prayer? Would you join me? Are you in one of those times? Are you struggling right now? Will you turn to Jesus? Will you reach out your hand to the rescuing hand of the Savior and ask Him for His strength? Ask Him for His help. Ask Him for His guidance. And dear friend, perhaps you just lived such a safe life and you think, well, I'm happy being the Christian I am. Well, what if God has something else for you? And perhaps you are saying so safe in the boat that you've never stepped out for Jesus. Maybe it's time. He'll be there to catch you if you're stepping out for Him. Remember, Peter said, Lord, call me. And the Lord said, come. If the Lord says, come, dear friend, don't just step out. Jump out. God will take care of you. Father, our prayer again is, will you help us to seek you? Lord, help us to set aside the battles that we have done with our mind and with our bodies and with our efforts. And God, help us to remember that our battle belongs to you, our Lord. Help us, Lord, to remember its spiritual battles. And that you are here to rescue us. We need you. We love you. God, help us to serve you.